All right, guys, it's your boy Black back with another episode of My Opinion. It is Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021. I just still can't believe we're already in August, you know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like just yesterday the pandemic just hit. Time flying. And I mean, you know, last year was a long year. Everybody hated it, but now that I look back on it, it's like kind of flew a little bit, you know. But anyway, I'm trying to get real strategic with these episodes, right? Hold on real quick. So I'm trying to get real strategic with these episodes, right? Because I watched Raw last night. I was in and out of NXT tonight. It was like, you know, I was here and there with NXT pretty much. But nonetheless, I watched both. And yesterday I kind of made a little business decision to myself. I said, with the way Raw was, I was just like, you know, and I pretty much put it to you guys like this. After watching, like, for the past couple of weeks, this fan's been back, and I will say, you know, I give Raw, you know, a pass for us when we haven't had fans, even though Raw has been, like, the most mediocre show. After fans been back, I will say last night's Raw was probably my least favorite show since fans been back. Like, if I was dick picking between Raw and Dynamite, SmackDown, Rampage about to be surfacing real soon. You know, I don't really count NXT, you know, because I still kind of look at NXT as like, it's we know what NXT is. It's like, even if it doesn't have to be great, we already know how WWE operates. They'll be like, well, it is a developmental area that we're doing. We just get to call people up to the main roster. So it's like, with NXT, I give NXT more of a pass, even if it's like, you know, you know, like, even with the show tonight, it was like, But I like it, you know. Like I said, I give NXT a pass because it's like I'm fine with it. But with Raw last night, I watched it, and I was just like, you know, I think the fans, they kind of hijacked the show. I will say, I thought the fans would have hijacked Raw worse than what it did. Like, I thought every time somebody would have came out, it would have been a CM Punk chant, especially considering they were in Chicago. I was like, oh, yeah. Because it was like one of those Raws where I was like, okay, Goldberg's coming back. And when MVP said Goldberg's name, the fans booed. I was like, okay, you know. I think it was a situation where even if you were watching Raw live, you can kind of hear Michael Cole talking about 16 time, and you can hear like a bunch of cheering. So I don't know if like WWE was trying to dub cheers over the fans in Chicago. Like I said before, you know what I'm saying? Like with Raw, like I said before, I think it's like for Raw to be like the out of all these shows that we watch each week, Raw is supposed to be what the standard bearer show, right? Like, Raw's been out since 1993. You know, Raw been through, like, pretty much everything. The Monday Night Wars and, you know, just everything. It's just been there. It's been there through, like, pretty much each era besides the Hulkamania era. But it's like it's been there, though. It's like Raw's just supposed to be, like, the standard bearer show. Right now, SmackDown is, like, the standard bearer show because I'm like, the way SmackDown ended last week, I'm, like, looking forward to SmackDown. Only because, like I said before, I think SmackDown is such a smoother show. It seemed like the process is smoother. It's 2 hours. You know how they're going to kind of operate with it. The storylines are told better. You know, it just seemed like it's a smoother show to me. And, like I said, after watching Raw last night, like, you know, let's just say, for instance, you know, you know, the whole Goldberg stuff, you know. That's all we got with that. Like, you figure with a 3-hour show, we would have got, okay, Goldberg, we already know the dates that Goldberg is going to be there. So why not utilize this guy more than what you're doing? Like, they already did a little stare down between Goldberg's son and, you know, Bobby Lashley, and MVP was making fun of the son, and then Goldberg come back and spear him and everything. I was figuring later on, and I was like, okay, later on that night, they're going to probably do it where he don't have to show it, but they can do like a little clip where he looked like the son was physically harmed backstage by Bobby Lashley. He act like, you know, he could play like dead type shit. Like Bobby Lashley fucked him up, but they ain't gotta actually get touched. You could just be like, oh my god, and then Goldberg goes nuts. Cause you only got the guy there for 2 dates because you know, he's not gonna be there next week, but he's gonna be there for the go home show for SummerSlam. We got a 3-hour show, and you can't utilize this storyline better than that. You're not selling. If WWE's position is to sell us Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley, they're doing a poor job for me. But what they're doing for me for SmackDown by selling me the John Cena Roman Reigns match, they're doing the job because they're like, okay, we know we're getting it, but it's okay. What story are you telling? Okay, you're selling it to me because I'm like already like anticipating, okay, Roman versus John Cena. You know, like I'm actually looking forward to it. Like it's like, okay, because we haven't seen Cena in a while. I actually want to see how Cena looks back in the ring. He's been gone for a while. You know, Roman Reigns been tanned up as a heel. The story that they're telling on SmackDown is awesome in my book. You know, it's, as far as WWE standards today, it's awesome what they're doing. And like I said before, SmackDown seems like such a smooth show. But when you're getting with, you know, with what you're getting with the Goldberg, Roman Reigns, like Goldberg and Bobby Lashley stuff, it's like, okay, that's it? That's all you're getting for the night? I just don't get it. Like I'm serious. I'm just like, I'm just not getting it. Like, what are you trying to sell to me for this Goldberg and Bobby Lashley match? Because as of right now, I don't want to. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like the stare down with his son was like, it didn't mean anything. By the way, his son really grown like since what, the end of 2017? You seen him? Like, I know people like, yeah, it was a couple of years ago. I'm like, yeah, I know, but Jesus. Like he looked jacked. but anyway, that it's like that's all you're doing. Like you don't get Goldberg back for another what, 2 weeks? Because they could have done, like what I would have done was, okay, you don't have to do on camera like how they did a cut like that, how they did what years ago when Brock first came back and he had the whole, this is what, 2012, right? And they was building up for SummerSlam between Brock and Triple H, right? Now, we already know Shawn Michaels don't want to do no stuff in the ring and none of that stuff. He was retired, right? Well, he is retired. And then he didn't really want to probably do anything. So it was probably like, okay, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make it where Brock Lesnar is going to get you. The camera's going to go haywire. They're not going to show anything, but we're going to hear a bunch of smashing glass and, you know, seem like he's going to powerbomb you on the daggone on the hood of the car and all this other shit. But we know for a fact that Sean didn't really take a major bump on the car, okay? Like, now, I know he got to the ring, he took an F5, and he took the little Kimura lock. That was just for, you know, that's in the ring. Sean probably like, I can do those kind of bumps, but the physically, like, land on a, no, I'm not doing that. But you could have did something like that. And then you could have had Goldberg where he's pissed because you got him gone for a week. And then it could be like, yeah, Goldberg is nursing injuries, you know, is nursing his son, you know, he's at home nursing the injuries with his son and everything, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, but Goldberg will be returning the, you know, next week. They could have did that this week coming up for Raw, right? Like, WWE, like, I keep hearing they be like, well, WWE is, what they call it? I forgot what the hell somebody called it on online, like, recently. I think they say he was creatively bankrupt. And I kept saying, what the fuck does that mean? Creatively bankrupt. Like, like that term does not make sense to me. People are like, well, he probably can't hire good people to really tell stories. Dude, it doesn't fucking take a rocket science to write stories for wrestling. It's not fucking hard. I'm in the middle right now of doing a little, I kind of call it a project. I don't know if that's what I really want to call it, but I'm just watching old wrestling, right? And I'm like, right now, I'm smack dab in the middle of 1998 Raw's War, you know, the summer. And, you know, right now I'm in the middle of, you know, they trying to figure out if Undertaker and Kane is in cahoots with each other. But the story that they're telling and the stuff that they're doing is like, dude, it's like, they're not doing a whole lot. It's just like simple storytelling. It's simple. It's like, it's not, they're not doing a whole lot. It's just simple shit. Because a lot of the stuff is in the ring, to be honest with you. It's not, they're not doing, they're like, what do you mean, you know, creatively bankrupt? I don't get that. Like, it's not hard to write for wrestling. It should be easy to write for wrestling. You should be more creative. The most creative thing in the world is probably writing for wrestling. It shouldn't be that fucking hard. All you need is, like, what? Like, just somebody to, like, have some common fucking sense. It's like you got Goldberg there. He only did one thing in the beginning of the show, and that was it. We won't see this man for 2 weeks. Why not, fake beat up his son? You don't have to show nothing on camera. You could have probably had Bobby Lashley walk into the Goldberg's dressing room while his son was sitting there. Goldberg could have probably went to the bathroom, took a shit, took a piss. Who fucking cares? You know, he probably could have made it seem like he grabbed his son, and then what? MVP could have been like, hey, this is hurt business right here, you know, and then he could have shoved the cameraman out, closed the door, and you could just hear a bunch of crap just going all over the place. And then you can cut back after commercial break, Goldberg rushing to his dressing room, his son beat the hell up. But he ain't got to actually get beat the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus Christ, like sell this shit. Because me personally, in my mind, I'm thinking in the storyline of Bobby Lashley, He should be the most sadistic son of a bitch on Raw. He does not care. Oh, Goldberg wants my title. I'll one up you and make you do something that you care about. I'm just saying. You know, you get it's story. It's like just tell a story. You know, you only got Goldberg there for like what two more dates, and that's what the go home show, and then he's there for the SummerSlam, and that's it. Goldberg's gone. Those are his dates. You can't tell a story, like, use him while he's there. You're paying the man money. Like, what is the fucking deal? But we can get on SmackDown, we can get a lot of storytelling that's, like, not doing too much. It's just, you know, like, I kind of called the fact that Sasha Banks was going to probably turn on Bianca Belair. It was just like, okay, but it was good the way she did it. Duh. So, I mean, I don't know how, you know, Raw was, it was okay. Let's get to it. You know what? Speaking of, as a matter of fact, Nia Jax suffered a little cut. The cut probably was massive because she was bleeding crazy. But when you see stuff like that, you kind of miss blood in WWE. Because I was just like, oh my God, okay. You know, like it brings out, seemed like a little bit more drama in a match. You know, because I can get into Charlotte and Nikki Ash. So I was watching that match. It was a good match. It was fine. You know, it was okay. But I kind of got goosebumps just a little bit when I was watching it. Because I was just like, hey, this kind of reminds me of, back when Triple H was beating the hell out of Mankind on an episode of Raw. But they was like brawling. Like, it wasn't like he was beating the crap out of him. It was just like they were brawling. But in the middle of it, you can see kind of like Mankind got his mask off. You can see Mick Foley's face, but he looked like real sadistic. And then he came out on SmackDown like that following Thursday and was like, Mankind is not the opponent for you, but I can tell you who is an opponent. And then when he took the shirt off, he saw the Cactus Jack shirt. I was kind of thinking about they should have did that with Nikki Ash, and she should have been like, Nikki Ash is not the opponent for you, Charlotte. And then she could have just like took off the shit and been Nikki Cross again, real sick and twisted. Because like I said before, you know, I like Nikki Ash. I don't know. I watched Raw, folks, and I just wasn't into it. And like I said, Raw's be one of those shows where I'm like, like I said before, each week, if I have to pick, Raw is always like the show that comes last. I don't necessarily include NXT, but I can watch NXT. Like, I watched it tonight, and it was just like, it was okay. You know, we had what, Love Her, Lose Her match. It was fine. The match was fine, you know. But they pretty much everything that they were doing tonight was just, you know, set up, you know, for pretty much next week. Because I think next week they're going to really be setting up for their takeover show, probably with, like, what, O'Reilly and Adam Cole and Raquel Gonzalez is coming back to Brink of Silence and stuff like that. They kind of continue along storylines, you know. Because, you know, the week after that, they're probably really going to just be building up the stuff. You know, Samoa Joe came out there. He wanted Karrion Kross to look, you know, Samoa Joe looks real crazy and ready to kill people and shit. You know, I was into it. It wasn't really nothing to really be like, oh, you know, You know, but watching Raw each week, it's like the last show that I want to watch. Because not only is it just 3 hours, they do nothing with the 3 hours. Like I said before, you look at SmackDown, they do a whole lot for their show in 2 hours that Raw would do for their three. I don't get it. You know, like I said before, you had Goldberg, that would, like, you can't further along a storyline with this guy. Nope, they didn't want to do that. It's like, well, okay. Well, you still got Bobby Lashley there. Well, is Bobby Lashley going to accept the challenge? Yeah, he accepted it, but it's like, you know. It's like they said, that's all you got. You see, almost he destroyed Riddle last night. One thing that I did, love, because like I said before, each week you don't have to necessarily have a knockout, drag them out match to just love a show. Sometimes stuff just has to make sense. You know, I just hope that people don't start the whole you can't wrestle shit with Almas, because trust me, he is way better than a great colleague. You know, you can tell he's more athletic. The guy used to play basketball, so he's got more athleticism in one pinky than great colleague. Okay? It's just that right now you can tell that they're just utilizing he's just a brute force and nobody can stop him. I'm going to enjoy the build of Almas right now. Just got to enjoy it, you know, because they have no more monsters on TV. And this is probably like one of the first times that you can actually think of WWE, and I'm not talking the champions, you know, dominant champions. I'm talking like a bona fide, like, straight up tall monster. Like, think through the years, through the eras of how WWE operated. They always had like a physical specimen force, you know. And I'm not talking your champions. I'm just talking like, you know, tall and, you know, damn near impervious to pain type guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they had Andre the Giant back in the day. Then they shifted to Undertaker. And then at one point they just started shifting and they had Kane for a while. And then they just brought in Big Show. So then you just had all these big guys that can do this shit. And then at one point, it kind of almost worked for Kyle when he first got there. But then he just got exposed real quick when he just couldn't work for shit. It was like it was only good for him when he just comes out and just do shit to people. But when it came to matches, it was like, oh, okay. With Almas, it's like it's more different with the Kyle stuff. It's like you can see the athleticism there. He can, you know, he could just do shit that great Kyle couldn't do. Like Kyle couldn't move for shit. Like every time he walked, it like it hurt. With Almas, it's like, yeah. You don't want this big motherfucker chasing you around the ring. He'll probably catch you. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not that fast, but trust me, he's not Kali. You know. You know, I enjoyed him beating the hell out of Riddle. I'm not really a Riddle fan. I love the way he works in the ring. I'm just not a fan of him. Period. So I was like, eh. You know, surprises, right? You know, when it was happening, I was thinking that, okay, that once Almas beat the shit out of Riddle, because you already knew that was coming. I was thinking AJ was gonna come out there and they were just gonna start jumping him. And then that's when Randy Orton was gonna come out, because I was figuring they was gonna probably just build up to a Riddle and Orton versus Almas and AJ match at SummerSlam, and then Orton probably a turn on them, because we know for a fact that Almas and AJ not losing those titles, no time saying leave those titles on them guys as long as you can. Until it, like, you know, because it's working. But, you know, it's just curious, where's Randy been since the fans came back? Because he has not been there since the fans came back. I'm just, like, shocked. Like I said, he might be home just enjoying life. He's probably like, look, I've been working like hell since the pandemic. And I give him credit. Randy has been like a working man's man. You know what I'm saying? Since the pandemic and the Thunderdome, and he's been, like, if somebody would have asked me, well, who is your MVP? Like, if I was, I'll pick between both shows. Like, if I was to pick throughout the entire Thunderdome era, MVP, I hate to say it, I would pick Roman, just because Roman has been, like, really holding down for the SmackDown set. But for Raw, probably just Orton, because they've been, like, utilizing him on every different kind of ways on the through the Thunderdome process. You know, like, you know, he had the title, even beefing with Drew McIntyre, and then he did with the stuff with the Fiend, and you know, he just been doing a multitude of stuff, and it was just like, and he had to like really work hard because the pandemic shit happened around the time that he was about to have like a good feud with Edge, which he still did, but it had to be through the pandemic. So it was like, you know, I just felt like Randy Orton has been the MVP for the Raw side, you know, hands down, in my book. That's in my book. People are probably like, oh, you bullshit. It was that person. I just think it was Randy Orton in my book, just because of they use him in all facets of Raw. Like, they just, you know, and then it just seemed like he had no time off. It's like, he probably just like, fuck this. The pandemic, as soon as they get the fans back, I'm going to rest my bones just a little bit. I'll be back in time for when you really, really need me. Because at this time, he probably feel like they don't really, really need him. Because, like I said, they got star power back. You know, you got Goldberg on Raw. You got John Cena on SmackDown. As much as I was bitching about the whole how they utilize Goldberg, and that's how, and that's me pretty much complaining to WWE. That's not me complaining to Goldberg. If I was Goldberg and I get there and they'd be like, well, I'm like, all right, I'm here. What you need me to do? They'd be like, oh, we just need you to go out there and cut a promo and that's it. Okay. Goldberg look at that check like, hey, that's on them. I'm going to ask him once. I ain't going to ask him twice. Because I'm already here. You might as well use me while I'm here. Because if you don't use me, fuck you. You're still paying me. Right? Okay. Whatever. He's going over probably like, look, if I'm here, he probably looking in his head, probably like, the fuck you not going to, you don't need me for nothing else. You don't need me to spare a couple of motherfuckers. You know, something. You know, we got to settle this. That, okay, whatever. Fuck it. I'm getting paid anyway. It don't fucking matter. And then I'm at the main event. Being one of the big main events at SummerSlam at a stadium, fuck you. I don't care. I wouldn't care either if I was Goldberg. This WWE money's not mine. They paying me. I don't give a shit. At the end of the day, you gonna give me this money any fucking way. So no matter. I'm under contract, motherfucker. You use me for just a promo and that's it. Okay. I mean, hey, I'd have just been more creative with it. But by the fact that you got 3 hours of a show, it's like, what the fuck? Like, are you not gonna use this guy more than what you're doing? Like, You're just not, because like I just find it hard to believe that you're not going to use him more than what you're doing. But I'm like, oh well, you know, that's like me going up to a job, you know you got to unload trucks and like, you know, and shit, but you're there for 8 hours, right? But they just tell you they call you into work and they be like, yeah, we need you to unload this truck. Now, remind you, unloading a truck probably would take you about like 2 hours if it's like a nice size truck. And they'd be like, all right, you need me to do anything else? No. Well, I'm here for 8 hours. Yeah, but you know, that's on you. I'm still going to sit on this clock and earn my money. But I would utilize Goldberg for all it's worth. Just saying. Yeah. you know, I mean, like I said, so far the matches they have lined up for SummerSlam, though, I'm not really not against any of them. Like I said before, you can kind of, let me pull up the card on my thing real quick just to, you know, because like I said before, with everything, a lot of stuff that happened on Raw, it was more like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I swear to you, though, it just, for me, it screams that Becky Lynch has to come back right after, you know, right after. They only got 3 matches official, but we already know. We'll say 4 matches official because we know that they're going to have a 4th match official on SmackDown, which is because right now they only got a triple threat match. They got Nikki Ash versus Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair, Roman Reigns versus John Cena, Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg, but we already know we're going to get Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, and that's got to be like, you know, it's got to be that match. It can't be no triple threat. It can't be no, it can't be nothing extra. They'll probably even tease the fact that it's Sasha versus Zelina Vega and Carmella, but we know who should win that match because Bianca, no, we already know the way Bianca went out on SmackDown, the way her character need to be is that she need to come back and be like, look, I want Sasha. You know, she goes straight to the Adam Pearce and I forgot the girl name, the you know, tell him I want that bitch. You know, like she went, like she's like a chump at the end of damn SmackDown. So yeah. So we know that's the four matches that we should have. And then they'll probably add in a couple of more. We know we already know another match is definite. Edge and Seth Rollins. And I'm definitely into that shit too. Like, nice. It's like we don't normally get good grudge heat matches like that anymore. It's nice to see that they're giving Seth Rollins that opportunity to work with Edge, and it's like a grudge match. It ain't got to be for title, but yeah, we can make a match where it can go deep. You know, storyline can feel like it's deep, right? You know, so I'm, you know, I have no issues with the SmackDown lineup so far, but we'll see how everything else lays itself out. And like I said before, you know, Charlotte has been, you know, pretty much, I guess, what, taunting the Becky Lynch. Because like I said before, I was actually surprised that the Chicago crowd did not hijack this show as much as I thought. Like, they hijacked it a little bit. Like I said, it was some CM Punk chants going on, and then it was a Becky Lynch chants. But let's be honest. Becky Lynch always, I mean, not Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair always gets the Becky Lynch chants, like, seem like each and every week. So I don't necessarily think that's a hijack. And even if they try to hijack Charlotte, she's so like, remember when Shawn Michaels was doing a promo in Montreal, and then I think the fans just kept chanting, "You screw Brett, you screw Brett." He knew how to work the crowd, right? And Charlotte knows how to work the crowd. Like, she knows how to silence them. A lot of people cannot do that, you know, silence a crowd. She can do it. When they try to hijack, she be like, you're not hijacking my damn promo time. No. I love it. But it screams that Becky has to come back, and it's gotta be like massive program from her and Charlotte, and they gotta make it deep too. Like, that's gotta be like some deep shit. Right? Nothing else to really get into. Like I said before, I'm trying to think. Like, it was it? I'm trying to think. Because, like I said before, Raw was just, eh. You know, I didn't cut. Like I said, I didn't come out of Raw just thinking, oh my God, it was, you know, it was nice. You know, they got Reginald, or they changed his name to Reggie. It's not Reginald no more because, you know, Vince got to keep changing these names each night. You know, he hates him. I hate Reginald. Reggie, you know. Good old Vince, you know, he hates certain names, you know. I wonder how Stone Cold would have felt if they were like, we don't call you Stone Cold Steve Austin no more, just Stone. Fuck. Like oh God, he doesn't like Stone, you know, he doesn't like the whole entire name, you know. Like you know, that screen, when I saw that, it was like, and I think one of the commentators even said Reggie or Reginald when he was coming out. It was like, yeah, you know, it was just one of those things. But you know, it's a 24/7 title, but we have in sanctioned matches. Ain't the purpose of this 24/7 title was to just, you know, to have like intermediate segments in between the show where we can see him even running from people, or you know, like Crash Hollywood's back in the Attitude Era. Are we supposed to get that? No, we getting sanctioned matches now, and people are getting disqualified on the 24/7 championship type shit. Like, what? This doesn't make any fucking sense. It's a 24/7 title, so I'm quite sure when you say 24/7, it's no rules for the motherfucker, right? That's what I'm assuming, because it's like, okay, 24/7. I mean, they like, it's not hardcore, but yeah, but it's 24/7. So that means if you sleep and I break you in house, I can pin you 1, 2, 3 and take your fucking title. Doesn't matter. I can beat you over the head with a trash can and then, you know, 1, 2, 3. It's no rules when it's 24/7 title. Like, it's 24/7. It's like 7-Eleven. It's open for business all the time. It doesn't have any rules. You know, 7-Eleven, they open 24/7. They get robbed on occasions. So that's how the 24/7 title should be. You're getting robbed, folks. You're getting robbed. And then, you know, speaking of commentators or getting into it anyway. Just get into commentating. Commentating team on Raw, I was like, they're so irritating, infuriating. I mean, I'm not necessarily Corey Graves, but the other two wackos, I'm like, oh my God, like, like, you got to understand the level of bullshit that you have to listen to when you, like, if you're live at Raw, you don't, it's probably better because you're just watching, like, if you're at Raw watching it live, especially after the pan, you know, especially because you've been home because of the pandemic and everything, you know, watching wrestling live in person is probably, oh my God, yeah, you know, that's good. But damn, oh my God, these commentators, fucking Ricochet did a moonsault. And then, like, a regular ass moonsault. Like, you, like, a bunch of wrestlers did moonsaults, you know. Even Vader, Bam Bam Bigelow, these big guys, they've done moonsaults before. And then Ricochet, he does more iconic moves in the air than a moonsault. And these commentators, I don't even know who the bald-head white guy in the middle of his name is, because Byron Saxton, he already, like, irritates me, like, all the way. Like, I'm sick to death of Byron Saxton. Like, I wish somebody would just, like I'm not a JBL fan, but I wish, like, old acolyte JBL would come and just, like, give this man, like, a clothesline from hell or some shit. Or Goldberg would just spear this motherfucker just because he's just sitting there looking stupid. But they, oh, my God. Look at that move that that Ricochet has done. Oh, my God. Like, dude, it's a regular-ass moonsault. It's a regular-ass moonsault. You know, you'd have thought Jeff Hardy, you know, swanton bombed off the top of a ladder, you know, while I was inside the ring, outside the ring, through a table. You'd have thought that's what the fuck just happened, right? But no, you know, we didn't get there because, like I said before, what now, like I said, back in the day when JR used to go berserk over shit, it was reason why he used to go berserk over shit. These commentators, they go over the top for no apparent reason. I'm like, dude, it's a regular-ass moonsault. Like, my son is in the my son is in the house right now. He could do a fucking moonsault. And I'm not doing, oh, my God, because I've seen him done it so many times. It's like, okay. You know, look, I can't do a moonsault, but, like, I've seen him over the years. He used to do one when I was a kid. I'd be damn, I'd break my neck now. But I'm just saying, dude. Stop. Stop being, you don't have to be over the top for everything. Save your energy for when shit really happens. You know, because when shit really happens and they go over the top, it doesn't even fucking mean anything anymore. Like I said, when JR used to go over the top, it used to mean shit. When Undertaker damn near killed Mick Foley, yeah, that was over the top shit. When Jeff Hardy used to always do the most craziest shit in the world, yeah, that's when you go over the top. You don't go over the top over a regular ass moonsault in a damn match. It ain't like, oh my God, the only person in the world that can do it is like, dude, shut up. Where's your wrestling card? Somebody take this motherfucker's wrestling card. I'm sick of him. I don't even know his name, the guy in the middle, but it was him. And then Byron Saxton, he's always over the top with shit. I wish Miz would have took the drip stick and just squirt his ass again when he was out there. Like, what the fuck? Like, squirt him with the drip stick, Miz. I'm sick of this nigga. Fucking drip stick. I do love the Miz, though. You know, I like the whole wheelchair thing. It's funny. Like I said before, it's like little things that you love. And like I said, Miz is good at what he does anyway. I didn't have a problem with the tag match. I am getting a little sick to death, you know, on Raw each week of, like, it'd be like that one match where you get, it seems like, five commercial breaks. And what I mean by five commercial breaks is that, you know, like, you know, it started off, what was it, John Morrison versus Damian Priest. And I think you got a commercial break on that. And then they came back. But it seemed like when they do the commercial breaks, it's like, okay, you don't do the commercial break no more. You do the commercial break, but it's side-by-side frame. So you can still see the action in the ring. And then you can and then you see the commercials on the side. You're like, you know. And then you come back, and then you get a tag match in the middle of that because there's a bunch of melee going on. Long story short, this whole entire shit took about like 30 damn minutes of your time of TV. But that's what happens when you got 3 hours of a show and you got to fill it. Because they, you know, they like to say they creatively bankrupt that shit. You want to know why they probably creatively bankrupt? They spend so much money in on these people that's supposed to be creative, but they don't know dick about wrestling. So then now you want to probably hire, you know, people that actually know what they're talking about when it comes to wrestling, but you probably can't afford them because you got budget cuts. So you got to cut people like Bray Wyatt, but you cut people like Bray Wyatt, but you keep in people that don't fucking matter that shouldn't even be on fucking TV. You know what I'm saying? And no, I'm not talking about people like Damian Priest. Like I said, I love Damian Priest. I hope he actually takes the title. But you got people still kicking around, you know, that you're not really doing shit with. Like, you know, like and one thing I do hate is the fact that when they say they get rid of people, they be like, well, they didn't have anything for them. How do you not have anything for, like, right now, Oscar, we about, look out for Oscar, because it was rumors, and I hate the rumor stuff, but by WWE's track record, it might not even be a fucking rumor, okay? They don't got Oscar on TV right now because they have nothing for Oscar. Okay, but you know that WWE, that SmackDown is kind of lacking competitors on that side. You can just put Oscar over there on SmackDown right after SummerSlam. That way she can be another contender for Bianca Belair and be in the mix with her and Sasha Banks. Because we already know Becky will be back soon. If you leave, you don't want nobody to go in purgatory, because that's exactly what you did to Bray Wyatt, which I don't understand how you do not have nothing for probably one of the most creative, the most creative characters that you've had in a long time, you know? Because you can put Bray Wyatt, his whole character, in the same context as like The Undertaker and Kane, where you can go, especially with The Undertaker, because you can go just creative all over that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like the character just breathes creativity. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for the life of me that WWE never has anything for people that you support. Like I think that was the same thing with Aleister Black. You brought him in, you had him attack Big E. You must have had some type of plan. They said they didn't have, it was rumored saying that it was no plan for it. I was like, what? So you just had him do some random shit, but you didn't know what the fuck was going on. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. I don't get it. It was the same shit with in 2002 when you got a guy like Stone Cold Steve Austin. At that time, they had probably one of it was probably like the best roster that Vince ever had. And he had nothing for Stone Cold in 2002. That's why Stone Cold left. I can't, for the life of me. Same reason why probably more guys like CM Punk walked out. But see, Vince didn't have a chance to fire those guys because they walked out. Because Stone Cold and CM Punk, they gave no fucks. Because they was like, look, I earned up enough money. I ain't got time for this shit. You don't have nothing for me, so I'm going the fuck home. I don't get it. How do you not have nothing for a guy like Stone Cold in 2002? You got like Ric Flair and Hogan, you know, Rock, you know, all these guys were on your fucking roster. You had guys from WCW come over to your roster. You had like the biggest roster ever. It was so many people, you had to split the brands. And you had nothing for him. And then on top of that, think about the year 2002, right? What did you have? You had all the guys that pretty much made the company big, like how it was in the 80s, like Ric Flair and Hogan. But then you got guys that pretty much set the stage for what was to come, is known as the Attitude Era, like guys like Hall, Nash, and Shawn, and you know, guys like that. To what we got was the Attitude Era and The Rock and Stone Cold. And then you had your future on the rosters, and Batista, and Randy Orton, and Cena, and Lesnar, and you had nothing for Stone Cold. I really don't get that. Like, these are supposed to be the smartest people in the world when it comes to wrestling, and they had nothing for him. And then we fast forward to this year, you have nothing for Bray Wyatt, but you find time to bring Goldberg in to have something for him. And then when he gets on Monday Night Raw, you don't do nothing creative for him. Except for say a couple of things on the microphone, and then we're done. We don't get creative anymore. Like, what is this shit? Like, what am I looking at here? What am I looking at? I'm just trying to understand the bullshit that I'm looking at on WWE TV. You can't find nothing for Bray Wyatt, but you know, and I don't want to bring him in this because Cena's been gone for a while, but you can bring Cena in and get real creative on SmackDown with how to build up this match for him and Roman, even though we know Roman might not lose it, because if you're not checking out these commercials with Cena is about to be gone again. He did the whole, yeah, I ain't back and everything. He's doing a 15 city tour, then he's probably gonna go back to create more movies. So we know Roman is not losing his title no time soon. And then when these two guys, Goldberg and Cena, is gone, who do you have to face these Bobby Lashley and which, like, we know they probably about to get real creative with Big E in his Money in the Bank, which by the way, I'm scared for Big E once he gets to the mountaintop, because then they might pull that shit of we have nothing for him. Haven't seen New Day on TV since fucking the pay-per-view. They must don't have nothing for them either. I'm starting to get real afraid of a lot of these guys, right? And then I'm starting to see online where people are saying AEW just screams WCW because all they're doing is signing old talent that WWE had. This is the difference between AEW and WCW, folks, okay? AEW are signing guys that WWE are not doing shit with. They're not doing shit with them. WCW stole top guys from Vince when at a time where Vince wasn't doing guaranteed contracts. So Eric Bischoff looked at it like, oh, Diesel, come on over. Razor Ramon, come here. Brett, let's go. And these were guys that Vince were using, but he just couldn't afford to keep them. That's the difference. Now Vince is not using these guys that we feel like there should be, you know, you could create shit around, like the Aleister Blacks and the Bray Wyatts, you know, and the Daniel Bryans, and, you know, even the CM Punks like that. That's who they're taking. Well, not CM Punk necessarily, but just a name to throw out there. And like I said before, I'm just surprised that Chicago didn't hijack Raw worse than what it was because of how abysmal half the shit was. But then again, they might have. I swear to you, WWE probably dubbed a lot of that shit off. Let's not, you know, make it seem like they probably didn't dub over that shit, because there might have been a lot of CM Punk chants going on out there. Because the Chicago's crowd is usually pretty, like in recent years, they are real harsh on bad WWE shit. Okay? So, you know, hopefully they got, you know, and like I said before, you know, hopefully they do something with Nikki Cross real good. Like, I hope this Nikki ass shit got something where it's supposed to go. That's why I haven't been really, you know, ripping it to pieces, only because I really got a soft spot for Nikki Cross. I feel like she's been through so much. They haven't used her a lot, you know, for a while. And then she got the title I'm happy for. So I haven't really been wanting to really rip apart this Nikki ass stuff, because I'm just looking at it, you know, I'm just happy for her. But it's just like, once Becky comes back, she's going to get lost in the shuffle. Whenever Becky comes back, she's going to get lost in the shuffle, because people are just waiting for this lady's music to hit. And I feel like WWE is probably just going to keep her shit under wraps. Excuse me. Because they probably just want to be like, look, we got to have some kind of secret shit going on around here. We can't have them knowing everybody that's coming back. You know, like the whole Cena return shit, it was like you anticipated it just a little bit, because it was just like the way, you know, the rumors was going around. I didn't really want to tap too much in the rumors, because like I said, I hate doing it. But then the way Edge and Seth Rollins left the ring and Money in the Bank, it was like, yep, seen this music about to hit, and this music hit. I'm like, I know it. You know, it's like you kind of call it, especially how you know, WWE sets shit up. WWE make it too obvious anyway. But with Becky's, it's like you're just anticipating it, but it's like you don't know when. You know, and that's probably the best way to do it. And like I said, WWE, they don't think WWE is not paying attention to AEW, because they are. And they definitely paying attention to them since the whole CM Punk, Daniel Bryan shit been out. So, like I said, AEW about to be on their hot shit. So, hey. It is what it is. All right, let me talk about some NFL real quick before I get up out of here. And probably some other stuff. It depends, but let's talk about the Colts. So, you already know the news. Carson Wentz should probably be out. It's saying 5 weeks, or it could be longer than that, 12 weeks, but they're only anticipating just 5 weeks. And rumblings have been going around that, you know, Frank Reich might be considering Nick Foles, and Nick Foles did an interview at a Chicago's Bears interview talking about the situation, which makes you think they might really go get Nick Foles, because it's still offseason. And, you know, we really, you know, because the talks in Chicago was pretty much, you know, Andy Dalton or Justin Fields. They ain't really been talking about Nick Foles too much. And Nick Foles been pretty much praising Frank Reich. And, you know, that year they won the Super Bowl, and Frank Reich knows him and knows what he's great at. He could change the entire offense just for him. But I was looking at the entire situation with the Colts, and I think that their number one, I'll say, piece to the offensive line, Quentin Nelson. Let me pull him up real quick before I go over this whole 5 week schedule thing, or 12 weeks, however you want to do it. But I know he's hurt, and he's like their guy. Okay, they saying he might be out for 5 to 12 weeks. But see, this the thing. He's got a foot injury just like Nick Foles. This the thing. This guy's a big guy, and he might undergo surgery, which means he could be out probably 12 weeks. That's an important piece of your football team, folks. And this guy, Quentin Nelson, is like legit. I think he was even like, you know, like, I think last year when they was doing, like, you know, top, you know, like top 15, you know, players in the league, I think he was like even ranked at the top 15. Like, that's how good this guy is. But if you don't have him on your O-line, your, like, O-line is predicated on everything. And even if you get a guy like Nick Foles, he's not a scrambling quarterback. He can scramble, but at the end of the day, he's more like a pocket passer. And your O-line, like, will break down everything for your offense. Like, if your quarterback don't have time to throw the fucking football, what the fuck are you thinking? And everybody like, well, that don't mean anything, because you know you can still kind of run the ball. But let's look at these damn games, though. Seahawks, that's your first game. Now, no, they don't have a top defense right now, but we know their offense can score lights out with everybody. They can put up – Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf can put up like 40 in their sleep. Okay, let's consider this shit. Let's consider that for a minute. And if your O-line ain't protecting your quarterback, and your quarterback is, and your main quarterback is out for 5 weeks, and an important piece to your offense, your guard is out for 5 to 12 weeks, you ain't gonna be able to score 40 points with an O-line like that. Then you get with the Rams. You got Aaron Donald coming at your neck. He already going to like feast on a depleted O-line. Like, he's just going to do that. Because that's who Aaron Donald is. And if you even think about throwing that football a little too early and you ain't paying attention, you got Jalen Ramsey in the back in the secondary. He just going to pick that bitch off. And then you got the Titans. They going to score. They got Julio Jones now. They're going to score. Then you got the Dolphins. They are defense. They have D. Then you got the Ravens. They got a set. The front, you know, where they supposed to get sacks at. It's okay. But you don't want to just, like, throw the shit all willy-nilly, because we got Marlon Humphrey on one side, and Marlon Humphrey makes Marcus Peters better. So, and you're putting Marlon Humphrey on probably your best wide receiver. And, he, you know, like I said, 5 weeks, that's a long time. By then, the playoff hopes should be, like, probably be shattered, because they can easily go 0-5. The Texas game, they should blow past that. But then you got the 49ers, like, right after that. Then you got the Titans again. The Jets probably won't be too bad. The Jaguars, we'll see. But then you got the Bills on your schedule. And this is me saying, okay, what if they go the 12 weeks? You got the Bucks on your schedule. Like, dude, the season might be already over for the Colts. And the Colts, like I said before, they was one of my, you know, okay, maybe one of my picks to, like, get to, like, the Final Four in the AFC side, considering I felt like Carson Wentz was going to have, like, an upgrade year, because I just felt like he was on a bogus-ass team last year. He just had to – I just look, you know, like, last year I was, like, into all the hype, because, like I said before, as you just watch the football as it goes, time goes on, you just say, oh, he threw this interception, he threw that interception, he threw this, he threw that, and all this other stuff. You don't got time to really, you know – think about the situation that he's in, because I'm worried about my team and what the hell they're going through. And then, like I said, with the pandemic, but now that I had time to think about it in the offseason, look at the situation, I'm like, who the fuck did he have to throw it to? Deshaun Jackson is always like an injury-prone dude. It's like you could breathe on him, he get hurt. It's like it's no purpose of him even playing football anymore. You know? He didn't have any kind of wide receivers. It's like, what the fuck? You know, and I felt like Carson Wentz, he's way better than that. I felt like he would have had a leap year this year. I felt like the Colts could have been one of the Final Four teams in the AFC. One of the Final Four teams in the AFC. I could have been wrong, like I said. Because right now in the AFC, it's a pick 'em type shit. You already know the Chiefs are going to be there. You know, but just what's the other teams that you could felt like can really compete with them and beat them? The Colts is one of my picks. I feel like my Ravens can do it. They just got to stop acting like they're so fucking scared of the fucking Chiefs. You know, the Browns can pretty much do that. They can pull their own weight with the Chiefs, too. Got the Titans. Like I said, I felt like the Colts was going to be one of those things, too. But if your superstar guard is out and your quarterback that you was pretty much hoping them is you might they might start out 0-5, 0-4. By then, it's like it's a little too late because you got to scratch and claw back a lot. And then on top of that, you got to play the Titans twice. And you got to play the Jaguars, who I think is a significant upgrade from last year. Because I feel like Trevor Lawrence might be Rookie of the Year between him and Justin Fields. Which let me get to the Chicago Bears point. You know, they talking about Andy Dalton as your quarterback. I feel like Matt Nagy should just start Justin Fields. Only because I just feel like at this point in time, Matt Nagy might be like on one of his last legs when it comes to being a head coach now, because it's like he had to go through so much with this whole Mitchell Trubisky crap. It was just like, ugh. You know, like, and I feel like now he got an actual quarterback and you could probably really upgrade your wins from last year and make some noise in the playoffs. Because now it's another – one team got to fill the void with the Saints right now, because everybody feel like the Saints won't be what they were for the past couple of years. So it's one team that's got to kind of fill that void. We don't know who it's going to be, because we already know the Bucks going to probably more likely be in the hunt and the Packers. We need a third team in that situation, because right now it'll probably be more likely the Seahawks or somebody from the NFC, but – like I said, it's another void, like, you know, and somebody from the NFC East got to be there, right? But who's going to fill that void of, okay, the Saints are gone, so that's like an extra slot. So who's going to get that? And maybe the Saints will still be there. They still got a team. They might just got to get a quarterback. You never know. The NFC is more like the weaker conference. And right now Tom Brady is about to prey on a weak conference. And all 22 starters are coming back. And they got a training camp. So, if I was Matt Nagy, I would just put Justin Fields in. I just would, just because I'm like, look, what do you have to lose with the guy? Like, you have nothing to lose or nothing to gain. Like, you can't go worse than Mitchell Trubisky right now. Like, Trubisky was so bad. I don't even know what team this guy's on. Oh, he's on the Bills. But he's a backup, and he is not going to ever start a game. And, like, you know, unless Josh Allen gets hurt, knock on wood, but I don't think this guy's going to get hurt. Because Josh Allen, like, is, like, fucking, you know, like he's a big dude, you know, so he can shrug off damn linemen and everything and still throw the fucking football. Like Josh Allen is the truth. He's legit. Josh Allen is not letting Trubisky touch no fucking football. So that's how bad Trubisky was. So, you know, I think the rookie of the year, I think it'll bounce between, people say Trey Lance, but like I said before, we don't know. You know, like I said before, I do think he'll start. I can't see the San Francisco 49ers trading up to get a guy and not start him. So that'd be like crazy in his own. And they already got a fucking squad. So it was like, if anybody's in a better situation, it's like him. And plus on top of that, I just feel for a guy like Allen, you know, Robinson. Like he's always been able to put up like legit wide receiver numbers with no quarterback. Like, how do you do that? Like, he even put numbers up with Trubisky. Like, this nigga went over 1,000. They're like, how? This motherfucker sucks. He probably look at you like, I don't know. I'm surprised I did it myself. Like, he should be like, if I was him, he would just, you know what? If they put Justin Fields in, I think what you call will automatically like bounce, like upgrade to like top three wide receiver. If you could do that with like no quarterback, imagine what he could do if a quarterback can actually throw him the football. And I've been watching Justin Fields for like the past couple of years. Where was he at? Ohio State. And I know most people be like, oh, Ohio State don't really produce good quarterbacks, but I think Justin Fields is legit. I really do. He looks like a hard worker. He looks like he'll take the time to do this. And on top of that, Chicago Bears never had necessarily had a, what would you say, a top-tier quarterback ever. Like, when they won their Super Bowl, was all defense years ago, okay? And then they lucked up and got to this. Super Bowl. The Bears versus the Colts, and you know, like that was like 2009 or some shit. But yeah, when they won the Super Bowl, it was like it was all defense, and that was back in the day when defenses was just like everything. Like you can like brutalize your opponent. You can't really now. You just need a quarterback, and I feel like they got a top tier quarterback. You know, and I think he might be rookie of the year between him and Trevor Lawrence. So, just my personal shit. That's all I'm saying. Football is here soon. I will do an extra show this week on Thursday. So, I'll have a show up tomorrow night, and then I'll have a show up Thursday night because I will review the Hall of Fame game because I'm going to watch the Hall of Fame game. And the only reason I'm doing it because I'm going to get my feet wet for how to do these shows when football gets back on. So I think what Thursday is with the Steelers versus the Cowboys. Not really rooting for anybody. I'm just actually watching the game to see how, you know, teams looking, you know, for us. Like they might play their first stringers probably like in the first quarter, probably not even in even the whole first quarter. They might just do a couple of reps. Just see the play, you know, just see how people moving around and everything. I'm kind of praying they don't play Dak, even though I'm a Dak Prescott fan, not a Cowboys fan. I'm a Dak Prescott fan. I like Dak Prescott. You know, it's kind of who Justin Fields kind of reminds me of, like, you know, just feel like he a natural born leader. I just kind of wanted to see him get like two reps in, just see how his leg is, because Dak is one of those quarterbacks that he got good feet movement. You know, he don't got to necessarily scramble like Lamar, but it's like one of those things where it's like his feet. You know, so like it's like he's already ready to kind of like, oh, okay, a lineman is about to be after me. He kind of scramble out just a little bit, throw the ball on the run. You know, I just want to see how his feet movement is, because I'm not questioning him throwing the football. He's fine, okay, with throwing the football. I just want to see his feet movement and see if he can still scramble like how he usually can. You know, I don't need him to run for extra yards or nothing, just to, you know, scramble out a little bit, just hit the ball on the throw on the run. You know, just stuff like that there. See how Big Ben looking this – this more likely probably be his last year. You know, one thing you guys got to know about me when I do these shows, I'm not necessarily a team basher like that. I just do it mostly for when I'm in my war rooms on Facebook, just because that's what it is, a war room. But at the end of the day, there's no purpose of bashing teams. Why? You know, I mean, if it's like I said, if it's any team I'll bash, it would be the Steelers, but I can't necessarily bash them either, because when my team play their team, they bring out the best in the Ravens, and the Ravens bring out the best in them. So, and those games usually, like, you know, is the records don't matter. So, like, one year, if our team is, like, the worst and their team is, like, the best, but if that calendar is marked as Ravens versus Steelers, the records is right out the records don't matter that game. It's all about physicality. So, you know, I don't necessarily bash teams. Only team you're going to probably hear me bash about all year is the Texans. I will be trolling the Texans all year because that it, like out of every team in the entire NFL, like, for what it's worth, when the Browns used to suck, I think the Browns just had a case of bad luck, to be honest with you. Like, for us, like, how they draft, because they always had, like, number one draft pick, but their draft picks never lived up to it. So, not, like, you know, in the past few years, they got Baker Mayfield, and the stigma going around Baker Mayfield was they were saying he was going to be a Johnny Manziel. I was like, no, nobody can't be like him, okay? Johnny Manziel was just a piece of trash, okay? Like, you know, he showed a glimpse of greatness, but the motherfucker wanted to stay drunk on the field. It was like, what the fuck? Like, Baker Mayfield was just competitive. It's like, you can't hurt a person from being competitive. That's you know, it is what it is, right? I just think the Browns had a case of bad luck because I think they always drafted good. That was the thing. It's just that they had a case of bad luck. It was a case of bad luck and a case of that the division is just so fucking tough because it's always the Ravens and Steelers dominated, right? With the Texans, though, it's like, my God. Like, what was it? Not even two seasons ago, they were like one of the teams where you're looking at like, okay, Texans or Chiefs, because, like, you know, you kind of look at it, it's like him and like Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, they can just like throw bombs and go blow for blow with each other, like, you know, on games. It's like, okay, you know. And then they just get rid of that damn star wide receiver from, they just take it away from Deshaun Watson. You're looking like, okay, you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins. He's probably like one of the top two wide receivers in the world right now. Why did you do that? They get rid of him. And then you don't want J.J. Watt no more. You piss J.J. Watt off. How do you piss off arguably the best Texan in the history of this franchise? And the franchise ain't been around that long, but he's probably like the best Texan in the history of the Texans franchise. You get rid of him. Then on top of that, you don't know how to deal with this whole Deshaun Watson shit. You keep around a damn coach that can't really produce as a coach. I will troll the Texans all year long until the Texans do better. I've never really bashed like the Browns. Like I said, if I bash them, I'm bashing them in my damn war room. That's it. That's just the Browns, Bengals, Steelers, Ravens going back and forth. That's how the fans go. That's how we do. But on this show, I can't bash no team but the Texans. Because the Texans is just like people are like, well, the Jaguars just suck. Yeah, but the Jaguars were kind of like in the same situation as the fucking damn Browns. They had a case of bad luck. They didn't, you know, consider that Blake Bortles was going to suck. Think about it like this. You know, Joe Flacco, right? People can say, Joe Flacco suck. Yeah, but he won a Super Bowl. You know why? Because the Ravens organization put shit around him. Because this is what people need to understand about football teams. You have to build your team around them. This is not the NBA where you can just build a super team. You can build a super team all you want in the NFL. You have to make that shit work. Right? That was like the first year when the Browns came together and they got Odell Beckham and all that the first time. And I said in the back of my head, I said, you got to give it a few more years because NBA, yeah, you got to have chemistry. But at the end of the day, if everybody's healthy on a super team, you can more likely pick that super team to win a basketball game. With the NFL, chemistry is everything. Like, plays gotta be, you know, gotta be executed the right way. They just do. And then on top of that, the offensive players that you pick don't play defense. Just saying. So, yeah, you got Odell Beckham, but Odell don't play defense. He can only be responsible for the offense. You gotta get him and Baker Mayfield to click, which I think they'll click this year. Because, like I said, I think the Browns took like a giant leap last year. I did like the fact they embarrassed the Steelers because the Steelers was talking all kind of crap before the daggone game, and then they was just it was everybody remember that daggone playoff game. Ben Roethlisberger, like, he wanted to cry. But you know, I will be trolling the Texans all year. That's like the only team I'm bashing all year. I'm not bashing nobody else's team. Everybody else's team I could probably pick out like the good shit in it. I can't pick out no good shit in the Texans. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's like a good thing, if I say with the Bengals, like, well, they're getting Joe Burrow back. Because Joe Burrow showed promise in a losing season last year because he had his team in close games. You know, the Texans got a culture. I mean, not the Texans. The Jaguars got a culture change. The Titans, they got Julio Jones now. The Browns, Beckham is coming back, and they already done, like, you know, beat the drought of not being in the playoffs for a while. The Ravens, all we can do is upgrade and just get better. Like, Lamar Jackson got over the hump of a playoff win. I can pick the good out of every team, but I can't pick no good out of no Texans. I just can't. I can pick the good out of every team in the NFL but the Texans. I will be shocked if the Texans win at least one game. And I'm probably sure they'll win one game. I'll put it like this. I'll be shocked if they meant win more than if they win more than one game. Because I've looked at their schedule, and they might get their asses handed to them. They might take the Jaguars by surprise or something. You know, I don't know. But I just don't see them winning no games anyway. And watch out for the sleeper team I told y'all guys about, the Cardinals. The Cardinals are a sleeper team, folks. Don't take that shit for granted. That team has been like the scapegoat for the Texans, for us taking all their like big time players. I don't even think Will Fuller is even on the Texans anymore. And he's like a speedster. And he, because him and DeAndre Hopkins is like the perfect, you know, 1-2 punch for his wide receivers. It's like D-Hop is not really a speed guy. He's more of a, I can jump up and you know, like, your cornerback can't handle me one-on-one. I don't got to be fast, but your corner can't handle me one-on-one because I got the massive hands to catch it and go up in the air. So you don't want to throw it that way, but you got Will Fuller. He's the speedster. He can get past your corners. You know what I'm saying? So it was more on that kind of level. Hey, look. So, but now, like I said before, you got to watch out for the 1-2 punch in Arizona because you got AJ Green. People, what you call it, got to stay healthy. He'll be fine. He will be fine. You gotta understand what AJ Green was in at first. Even though the Bengals not going to be like that for long, but he had to do pretty much everything. Like, I think at one point was Andy Dalton hurt at one point, and like it seemed like AJ Green had to do a whole lot. He got hurt himself, so yeah. It is what it is. So, you know, everything will be fine. Trying to think, do I have anything else to get into? No, that's pretty much it. Oh, PJ Tucker's not with the Milwaukee Bucks anymore. He's with the Miami Heat. That's a shocker because I felt like, you know, the Bucks would have probably clamped down on guys and, like, let's run this shit back, because even though we got teams that's being built to super teams, I'm not necessarily picking super teams anymore. Like, you know, because they even posed the question today on ESPN. They were like, well, do you think the Golden State Warriors can get another title within 4 years? I believe so. You got to think about it. When Klay Thompson come back, and I don't necessarily want to be like, oh, well, if this person get hurt again, that person get hurt again, look. All you need him and what Steph Curry do is shoot out the back. That's it. Best 1-2 backcourt punch in the damn league when they together. So ain't nobody shooting lights out like them guys. So it's possible. You know, I mean, if we want to do the whole if thing, if all these super teams stay healthy, then probably no. Because then we'll be looking at the whole, okay, if you're looking at the whole landscape of super teams, if all super teams stay together and stay healthy, it should be Lakers and Brooklyn Nets next year for the finals. But like I said before, the Brooklyn Nets got to take into account that James Harden got to stay, you know, in shape and healthy. You know, I'm not really going to question Kevin Durant because he was fine after his injury, his major injury a couple of years back. And you got to hope that Kyrie Irving got his head in the game. You got to be in the right headspace. And then with the Lakers, you just got to hope AD is healthy because you already know LeBron going to give it his all. LeBron going to do his thing. And we already know what Russell Westbrook is capable of. You know, they'll all click, trust me. Russell Westbrook, everybody like, well, Russell Westbrook, do you know what Russell Westbrook going to do? Yeah, but like I said before, but you got to figure that mentality. He had to have that mentality. Look at the shit. Look at the teams that he had to play on. Like ever since KD left, he played on shit teams. So Russell Westbrook way worked for him because he's a walking, living, breathing triple double. Like he gives you that. And then LeBron gonna probably just tell him, look, just give us that triple double. You straight. Just know that L end game is that title because Russell Westbrook right now, this is his best chance to get a title since he had KD, right? You got to figure, he been, since KD left, Oklahoma Thunder, they like just digress. And then he went to the Houston Rockets. And then we thought that was going to be a dream team a little bit with him and Harden, and then it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And then because it was like the whole thing with the Houston Rockets, I think that was just like, you know, what would you call that? Toxic, because of probably in Harden's head, it's my team, so it's got to be my way because him and Chris Paul didn't work and him and Russell Westbrook didn't work. So it's just probably more of the shit like that. So when he gets to Brooklyn, it's just, KD probably told him, look, it's my team, but we all got to work this together if we want to, you know, achieve what we need to achieve, right? Now he with LeBron and AD, and they already won a title. They just add, like, an extra guy that's just going to, like, give them a triple-double. LeBron going to probably help Russell Westbrook pace himself throughout the season, too. So don't think that, you know... Excuse me. Don't think that Russell Westbrook is not going to give it 100% every night. He will, but LeBron is going to help him pace that because LeBron will probably tell him, look, save some of those triple doubles for the playoffs because we could just use a lot of those and you'll see a playoff Russell Westbrook like never before this year. I'm like, since Russell Westbrook has gotten signed to the Lakers, since Kobe left, you know, since he retired from the Lakers, right? I've never been like, oh my God, I hope the Lakers really win the finals. Like, I haven't been like that since Kobe's like retired from the Lakers, the late great Kobe Bryant. I haven't been like that with the Lakers in a long time. Even when LeBron first got there, I'm like, eh. I can see LeBron winning the title, but I was like, it was never in doubt. I didn't think LeBron wasn't going to win the title with the Lakers. I'm like, that's fine. That's cool. He's going to do it. But now, because I've been like a Russell Westbrook fan from like the start, because this guy do not cheat you in a basketball game. He will not cheat you. He will not do none of that bullshit. The only thing LeBron will probably help him do is pace himself, but that's about it. But you are not going to be cheated, and he is in the probably like the right city to do all them triple doubles and Showtime and all that other shit. Oh, Russell Westbrook about to show out. It's going to be a fun season to be a Laker fan. Not necessarily a Laker fan. I've been always just – I'm usually not necessarily a team fan when it comes to NBA. I'm always a – because NBA always use trading parts all the time. Like, all the time. Like, more than the NFL. Like, they trading parts, like, every – all the time. Right? So, you know, you got your fans where they just – you just got LeBron fans. You got Kobe fans. Jordan fans. You know – and the loyal Bulls fans that's been Jordan fans, they just still Bulls fans probably. But I've always been a Russell Westbrook fan. Like, you know, so it's, I just love to see this guy win a title. And LeBron will probably help him do that. All right, I'm about to get up out of here. Before I get up out of here, you know, I don't know if I'll try to call this with the life lesson or whatever you call it. Just call it life, you know. I don't know what you really want to call it, but you know, I sit on here and I do this show, just get me to thinking and stuff, you know, just because of how life is. And I notice how my life turns out, and I'm glad where my life is at and everything, you know, 3 kids, engaged. And I sit here and I'm like, you know, you see certain shit that just happens to you, and you just be like, man, I'm a grown ass man though. Like, and I was sitting here earlier this week, and I'm just like, I'm a grown ass man. I ain't got time for none of the whole hoopla, the fuckery, and none of that dumb shit. I just like to be that type of person that's like, okay, like, if anybody has a problem with me personally, you know, it's like, just come to me personally about certain shit, you know? But, you know, it never can be that way, because you still got the whole fuck bullshit going, you know? You just got like little cheap shit. Like, people do like little cheap, like when I watch wrestling, right? Watch wrestling, it's fine to do the whole, you know, you watch the storylines and you're like, oh man, you know, that nigga taking a cheap shot. But at the end of the day, when you watching it, like, you can watch, it can be old or new, don't matter. You can be like, man, if that was me, I wouldn't have took that bullshit, you know? Like, and then it's like, as, like, certain shit happens, you just be like, look, come on, like, I'm a grown-ass man. I got time for this shit. Like, I look at the situation like this. I have kids, right? I got 3 kids. If I feel like playing, I play with them. I play with other grown men. You feel me? That's not what I do. If I feel like playing, I grab my kids and I tell them, you want to play the game? You want to go outside? You want to do that? When it come to grown men and it be like a real situation going on, I don't play with other grown men. That's not what I do.
Yeah.
I feel like if you got a problem with me, you would address it to me. It ain't got to never be tough shit. Because I'm not that type of person. I'm not the type of person that, you know, you'll come to me and if, you know, you address a problem with me. And you can address the problem to me as like a grown-ass man. We just talk about the shit. Because I'm never the type of person to be like, oh, motherfucker, what? And puff my chest out and all that other shit. No. I only fight if need be. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you put your hands on my mother, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Put your hands on my fiance, I'm going to whoop your ass. If you put your hands on my kids, talk to my kids in kind of way, then that's a form of an ass whooping. But that's about it. But like for a grown man to want to go tit for tat with another grown man, I feel like that's just play shit. And I know that once you take it to that level, you're not on my level, because I'm like, my level is this. You got a problem with me? Just address me. You see what I'm saying? That's how it's supposed to go, anyway. Like, look, man, look, like, you know, you can talk to me like just like how I'm talking now. Like, hey, look, I ain't like how, you know, like how you go about this. I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's talk about it. I'm not gonna puff my chest out, none of the dumb shit. Like, that's just dumb. Because at the end of the day, grown men should talk about shit. You know, we shouldn't be all the way hostile. Like, you know, like we know females, at the end of the day, they're more hostile than men. Like, men is more, should be more like chill and cool and be like, hey, you know, and I'm like, oh, no problem, man. My bad, bro. You know, that's it. Should never be no hostility, but that's easier said than done. I've only met one person in my lifetime, far as a guy goes, that was like right around the same age range bracket like me. I'm not going to put out names or nothing like that, but if he ever hear this show, he know I'm talking about him. Used to work at Home Depot with me, right? I just felt like me and him was just had the same vibe. Like, we vibed the same way and everything. And I just felt like, you know, I think one time he actually came to me and was like, you know, look, you know, blah, 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 blah. We actually talked about shit. And then it was like a whole handshake, dap him up at the end of the day. It was never no fuckery bullshit with it. It was never no, I'm going to go behind your back. I'm going to say this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do some slick shit about to you. I'm going to do all this to make you know that I don't fuck with you, but I'm not going to say it to you I'm addressing the way of like, you know, I'm gonna just do certain shit. And then when you see the shit, you just like, really? I hate that shit. I used to hang around people like that. It'd be like, you know, like I used to work with a guy. You thought he was my best friend. He pulled some shit one time where he used to take me to, man, working at the same job. He's supposed to be my best friend. We worked at, supposed to work the same job, right? Worked at Target years ago. And he usually picked me up like around 3:30 in the morning. Between 3:20 to 3:25, he would bang that corner. I could see him coming around, coming down my street. One particular morning, I was up. I was sitting in my living room. He didn't hit the corner, so I said, okay, let me walk around his house because his house is like on the next street over. He's already gone. I sent him a text. He said, man, I've been to work early. I went to work earlier than usual today. Nigga, what? We working the same job. We got the same schedule. I said, you know what? Never mind. I blocked that. I'm good. And it's one of them situations where you got to just take a person and you got to be like, let me X him out my life because I don't need that. It's like, why? Like, just if you don't fuck with me, just tell me. Who am I to get mad if you be like, I don't fuck with you? Like, if you don't, you don't. I'm more on a situation where I'm like, if you tell me you don't fuck with me, I will appreciate it. And I'd be like, okay, that's fine. You know, no hard feelings. Hope you do well in life. Like, I'm not going, what the fuck I'm going to say, you bitch ass nigga? That's not how I do things. Like, if you more cordial with me about the shit and, you know, upfront with me about certain shit, and at least tell me, I don't fuck with you. I'd be like, okay, that's fine. Not everybody's supposed to like me. But I'd rather you just tell me straight up in person to my face. What am I supposed to do? Punch you in the face because you say you don't like me? I'm not supposed to be liked by everybody. That's a news flag. And that's one thing people don't get in this world. Like I've seen people that was appalled that certain people don't like them, and they be like appalled at it. And I was just looking like, I was perplexed about it. I was like, what? Like, you're not supposed to be liked by everybody, you jackass. Like, some people will hate you, like, just because. Like, you don't even got to give a person a reason they can just hate you. You know, you can just walk. I can walk into a store right now. I bet you I can come back out that same store. I ain't got to say nothing to nobody, but I bet you two people already hate me, and I didn't even do anything. I didn't even say nothing to them, or nothing, none of that. And two people could probably hate me. And I'm fine with that. Because at the end of the day, I will sleep at night. It's just how I operate, you know? I'd rather that type of stuff than for you to just, okay, let me do this and let me do that. I want this person to know I don't fuck with them by doing certain kid shit, but I'm still going to speak to you somewhat. Like, what? That just confuses the whole situation. And then what that does is create more tension. And then now that's how a fight happens. Now, I'm not necessarily saying me, because at the end of the day, I gives no fucks. Like, when people, if you do shit like that, I really gives no fucks. Like, I can look around, I can look under the bed, I can check in the refrigerator, the freezer, in the cabinets, bathroom, toilet. I wouldn't find a fuck. Because that's how my brain operates. I wouldn't give a fuck. I just wouldn't give no fucks about the shit. But, you know, some people still think to this day that type of shit gets to me. Right now, that shit is happening to me. And, like, the thing is, the fuck factor, it imprinted in my brain. Like, it'd be like an alert in my head when shit like that happens. And I'd be like, oh, my fuck alert. I can't find it. So let me not give a fuck. And then I start not giving a fuck. Because, like, right now, when this is just happening to me, but I'm like, little do you know, you about to find out how I don't give a fuck. Because the way I operate is that you should just come to me and tell me you don't fuck with me so I can know how to handle the situation. I can be like, well, okay. And that's how I handle the situation. Well, I know not to really speak to you. But people tend to want to learn and find out the hard way of how many fucks I have left. And I have none. I mean, I have fucks left given, but I try not to waste the fucks. I got my fucks is like in a bag. but I don't pull them out unless I have to really give a fuck. I don't waste my fucks on stupid shit though. I save my fucks for when I really have to give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? And trust me, I haven't gone in that fuck bag for a while. Unless it's like, you know, kids or fiance type stuff. You know, other than that, that fuck bag has been like stowed away. As a matter of fact, I might gotta go to storage and see if they're still in there. They probably gone too. I might gotta make a new fuck bag. Like, share, and subscribe, folks. Like I said before, I will be doing another show tomorrow, and I'll be doing a show on Thursday. And the way the shows are supposed to go once the NFL starts, it should be a show pretty much damn near every day once the NFL starts, because it's going to be like, even when I don't got wrestling on like a Thursday, I have a game on Thursday to watch. And even if it's like a weak bullshit game, it's like going to be nothing else for me to watch on Thursdays. Because right now, my Thursdays isn't lined up to watch anything right now. So I'm like, I'm going to watch Thursday games anyway and get my input on it. Monday is going to be set up a little bit confusingly. More likely, I'll probably go over the game too. Because like I said before, Monday Night Raw has not been the answer. I'm so glad SmackDown is on like Fridays and not on Mondays, because it's no football on Fridays. Probably a little college football here and there. Most of the college football games come on Saturday though, or the major ones. It'd be like some come on Fridays. But more likely, 9 out of 10, I'll be just talking about SmackDown on Fridays. But pretty much I should be having a show like that every day, because I got like what, college football on Saturdays. I got NFL on Sundays. I got Monday Night Football on Monday. I got NXT on Tuesday. Well, I got Monday Night Raw and Monday Night Football on Mondays. So I'll be clicking back and forth. I might just have Raw on the laptop, Monday Night Football on the TV. Then I got NXT on Tuesday, no football. AEW on Wednesday, thankfully no football. And then I got Thursday football. And then I got Friday Night SmackDown. So, yeah, I'm going to have a show down there every fucking day. Now, if I don't do a show, it'll probably be more likely Tuesdays might get shut out. And that's the thing. Tuesdays might get shut out more than often, only because that's only NXT day, and I can kind of mix NXT with Dynamite. Tuesday will probably be the sacrificial lamb day, just because I'm like, look, why? Unless NXT was that damn good to just go over and talk about for like a 30-minute or a half or like a whole hour, then I'll do just NXT by itself. But more likely, I'll probably just mix. Tuesday might be the sacrificial lamb day. I might just need a day to just like not record shit. But I am going to be recording more often than not. Tuesday will be probably the sacrificial lamb, depending on how I feel, you know. But these shows are about to get extra long. You see how this show got longer today because I had some news on NBA and football. And don't count the whole me doing life lessons type stuff, just stuff that was just on my mind I had to get off my chest. But other than that, if you do like the show, you can definitely listen to this show on anchor.fm, but you might as well just download the Anchor app, and you can listen to me on all the other, you know, platforms I'm about to list right now. You can listen to me on Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Spotify. Other than that, folks, I am out. I will do another show tomorrow about Dynamite. Hopefully Dynamite will be exactly what the show name is, Dynamite, like it's been for the past couple of weeks. We might get more news about Chicago shows, and we're not going to necessarily say they're going to necessarily see CM Punk name, but they might do a little. When I say Chicago shows, I mean like AEW or probably hint, hint, you know, Chicago, pretty much CM Punk, but they're not going to say his name. Don't forget, Juventud Guerrero will be back on TNT tomorrow for the first time in, what, 20-something years? 20 years? Chris Jericho's got a match with him. We got some other stuff. And don't forget, Rampage will be debuting in the next few weeks. And other than that, folks, I have nothing else left to go over. Because like I said, I don't really do the rumors unless the rumors are like, you know, true. Or like I said before, like, you know, like the CM Punk news, they got to be like groundbreaking rumor stuff for wrestling anyway. For like, you know, now with football and basketball, I will do rumors and stuff like that just because that's just different. Because, you know, like I said before, it is a rumor that Nick Foles might sign with the Colts. It makes sense, but whatever, whatever. But other than that, folks, I'm out. Everybody have a safe night, and I will be back tomorrow to record another show talking about Dynamite. Other than that, everybody have a safe night. I'm out.